Tuesday, I think they leave. And if you know what happened yesterday, I'm a Filipino guy, so I root for my countryman. Let's just talk a little bit about him, Pacquiao, yeah? No, the one good thing I like is his conversion, not his being a boxer or something, because he has changed his life, you know, he has given himself to Jesus Christ. He's actually preaching there, and in fact, all the interviews before the fight is he's giving out unto God, he's fighting for God. Maybe this is time for him to retire, because he was fighting a man of really money. They could talk about money Mayweather. So he lost yesterday. So, in fact, I never bought my first pay-per-view for years that he's been boxing. I just went to our daughter's house and a freebie, $100. Can you believe that? And $400 million purse fight. First time in history of boxing. But anyway, praise him, and I'm going to pray for him that this is might be his retirement days, and take that lump sum of money and just spread the word of God in the Philippines. Yeah, to the lost. And I hope he's not going to run for president. That's their, whatever they, you know. But anyways, today, blessings, yeah? It's a privilege to be able to share a message for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord. Another day to rejoice and really be glad in it. And it's just an awesome time, Lord. It's a blessing for me that I'm sharing the word for my brothers and sisters here. And I've chosen, Lord, a message to believe it, to live a life of faith, Father God. And may these words that I'm sharing to them be a transformation to each one. That includes me, Father God. And just ask blessings from the Lord God to give me the wisdom. Guide me as I go on, read a 2-hour message today. And I hope my brothers and sisters here will not sleep or something. But anyway, Lord, the glory is all yours. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone says amen. Amen. Yeah, you can take your notes. And we need to have that's why I gave ball pens to write, because this is kind of like fill in the blanks. 10 commitments to be an effective Christian. But again, if we talk about faith, I'll be giving you a lot of, first things first, we will read about what faith is all about. It's in your notes. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." It's clearly stated there. It's confidence in what we hope for. We don't see it, but in assurance what we don't see. Yeah. But Jesus said in Matthew, in Luke 17:6. If you can put it on, please. Anyways, here. It says, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." That's what Jesus said. Another scripture on Luke, other than one, he said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled out by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." That's Luke 17:6. That's how we should, you know, we can move. There's a movie coming in, Little Boy. It was showing him something like that. It's coming on about a couple of weeks from now. And anyway, Matthew 19:26 says, it's not in your note, but he says here, "With men, this is not possible. But with God, all things are possible." Amen? That's and then, I think we cannot put on the PowerPoint. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." It's another word from God, from Paul. And faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. Yeah? If we examine the lives of Christians, really, that impacted the world for Jesus, we will find that their spiritual success is never, never an accident. Yeah? Effective Christians deliberately and purposely, you know, commit themselves to developing habits. You know, habits to focus their thoughts on actions and living a life of faith. I could mention a few existing evangelists right now here in America. The greatest evangelist is Billy Graham. He's going to be 97 years old this November. And probably he's been ministering and reaching out for 70 years now. Can you believe that? This is a man of faith, a man of God. And the one thing, another person I like is Pastor Pat Robertson. When I was young in the Philippines high school, I've been watching 700 Club. My dad loves him so much. He's 86 years old now. He's still preaching. The children, Tim and Graham, they're you know, taking over the ministry. And another one, if you're fun about seeing, you know, looking at the internet, you know, open up Seed Growth. It's supernatural. He's compiling all these people that have miracles in their lives and share it in the TV. So that's another thing. But a lot of also people who passed away, they're in heaven now, like Pat Robertson's friend, Robert Schuller, that died last month. He's the Hour of Power guy, and so many years he's been preaching, this man of God too. And to mention a few, Chuck Smith, 2 years ago, he passed away too, the founder of Calvary Chapel. Paul Croats, the founder of TBN, died 2 years ago. These people are men of God, live a life of faith all their lives. Amen? And in the Bible, actually, I can quote some people who are living a life of faith here. Hebrews 11:30 says here, I mean, Moses, that let's start with Moses' parents. He was hidden for 3 months because, you know, the time the king was trying to kill the children. But Moses was the one who lead the bondage from, you know, Egypt. That's a faith by the parents of Moses. Even Joshua, the walls of Jericho, that's by faith that the walls broke down in 7 days. It's all by faith. Noah, by faith. Let me read the Noah. I like this so much. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, see the meaning of faith, yeah? Not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. That's what faith is all about. So I hope with this message, I'm going to give you 10 commitments to be effective Christians, living a life of faith. And let's take a look at the dictionary, American Dictionary. A strong belief in supernatural powers or powers that control human destiny. A divine power. Can you believe that? Faith is a divine power. And really, it's awesome to be able to walk with faith. Hebrews 11:6 here, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Yeah? And that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. So, if you are here right now, I know most of us here are believers. We walk the walk. But if you are not, please, I invite you, I encourage you to move on, let go of the past, start a new life. Like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if you are in Christ, if you accept the Lord as your Savior and you start a new life, if anyone is new in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So please, move on in your life, forget the past, start a new one. Amen? Is that an amen? Okay. So let's start with the first bullet. Oh no, commitment. Let me tell you what commitment is all about. It is a promise to do or to be loyal to someone or something. It is the attitude of someone who works very hard to do something. That's a commitment. So first bullet I want to talk to you is commit to read. I could add on hear or listen. If you don't like to read, you can hear. You know, it's high tech now. All the Bibles are on audio. It could be on your smartphones, tablet, your iPad, whatever, computer. Yeah. It is, you have to commit to yourself to read because making time for meeting with the Lord through reading and meditating in His Word, and I suggest it should be daily. how many hours we sleep, 8 hours at least, yeah? How many hours we work, at least 8 hours or downtime, whatever. So how about the 8 hours left? Eating, driving, watching movie, watching the TV. If you commit yourself to reading 15 minutes a day, you can read through the Bible the whole year. That is if you have a reading plan. Stick on the reading plan. 15 minutes a day. A lot of us here are really very, very devoted to reading the Bible. I can name a few. And I'm trying my best. I'll give you Bible 101. There's 66 books in the Bible, right? Man, you cannot read that in one setting. Me, I've been really trying, devoting myself to read. But it's not just not reading, of course. You have to understand. You have to apply it to your life. Bible 101, 39 books in the Old Testament. The first 5 books is the law of the land that Moses gave to the Israelites. Just Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then starts from Joshua to Esther is the history of the Israel. So Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. And then comes the 5 books of poetry or wisdom. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And then from Isaiah to Malachi, that is the prophecy books. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Okay? Then Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi. That's the 39 books. How about the New Testament? We are a New Testament church right now. All Christian churches all around the world follow the New Testament. Start with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There's 8 authors in the book of New Testament, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Peter, Jude. That's it. That's 8 authors, the book of New Testament. So again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts. Luke wrote that. That's the book of Acts where the Pentecost happened and the conversion of Paul, in the books of Acts, if you read that. So then Paul was imprisoned in Rome. So he wrote 13 books when he was in Rome. He wrote 7 books to the churches in that area. So it's called Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and then there's 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, you have Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. That's 13 books. Then here comes Hebrews. Then after Hebrews, James wrote it, the half-brother of Christ, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then Revelation. There you go. Can you commit yourself to read that? It's awesome, yeah? You cannot finish that in, no, just as I told you, 15 minutes is good enough. But anyways, let's move ahead. Let's read Joshua 1:8. He was just referring here to the book of the law, the first 5 books. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Prosperous. We just sing Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Give us a hope and a future. Amen? That's really a thing to ponder, a verse to ponder. Even Revelation 1:3. Look what it says here. So our PowerPoint is just working, yeah? Okay, look at this. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. That time is near is really a question mark. We know Jesus is coming anytime soon. We don't know when. We don't know when your last breath is. It's a blessing, May 1. My wife, so sad to say that, but it's a blessing. 2 years ago, my wife died. May 1, that was the time that we went to the ER and his stent. And yesterday was the defibrillator put in her system. But look at her right now. She's praising God all the time. See, if we talk about victory and about our faith, we all face challenges, right? Obstacles and even dreams. Sometimes our dreams don't look good when we think negative and be discouraged, you know, and talk about what's not going to work out. Why not just change the mood, you know? Have faith in God. Amen? Praising God with faith and thanking God that He's still in the throne. Amen? He's still in the throne. Thanking God that He's fighting the battles for us, not us fighting our own battle. I think God, sometimes we think about having good attitude as soon as, me sometimes, as soon as business picks up, I tell my wife, oh, I'm going to be okay. Just cheer up as soon as I, you know, you have this faith that like a mustard seed. Cheer up. Don't do anything harsh in life now. You gotta have faith in God and you gotta submit yourself to God. You gotta surrender to God. You gotta be obedient to God. Start all over if you're not starting. I encourage you. Yeah, sometimes we cheer up when we get over these health issues. Yeah, that's what I told you about my wife. Oh, she's just praising. We always pray together. Just pray for somebody that's sick out there in relationship and, you know, kind of like down and out. It's just amazing. Sometimes people, I give God praise when I get through tough times. We always have tough times. Suffering, challenges, tribulations out there. Satan is trying to get us. But don't give up. The victory is with God. Amen? You have victory from God. You got to give God the praise and then the breakthrough will come. Yeah, you gotta cheer up first things, then the favor will change in your sight. Yeah, praise always precedes the victory. As long as we're not getting discouraged, focus on the problems that we're not supposed to focus. You know, God can do anything. Amen. So second bullet, let's go. Commit yourself to pray. There you go. Actually, the first two commitments and the 10, they're all interrelated. You know, keep this bulletin when you go home. That's why you got to write it down, keep it, and just read all over it. And you can, this could be your devotional thing. We have to commit to pray because throughout the day, with a thankful heart, come on, and a listening ear, expect to hear from God. Be thankful. Our level of contentment should be just enough for what God has given us. We don't have to crave for more. Right now, I'm almost telling my wife, "Hun, we have everything we have. Nothing else. Each one of us here are blessed in our own ways. You know, the level is different to each one. Only God knows. So that's why you have to go straight to God. Pray. It's a two-way street, you know. When you pray, He hears, and then you listen to His word. It's going to come out. Look at what David says in Psalms 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud and He shall hear my voice. Just a suggestion, my smartphone, yeah, high tech. I don't know, somebody might hear me sometimes. 7:30, 12:30, 7:30. It's like alert for me to pray. That's been doing that for years. My wife knows that. Hey, here, honey, your phone is alarming. But I'm not just saying that this is the only time I pray. You know, you can pray. There is no rule for praying. You can pray with open eyes. You can pray while driving. You can pray while showering, beautifying yourself. Yeah? You can pray while putting your makeup. Lord, thank you for this. Yes, it's really in driving. Lord, thank you for almost this guy didn't bump me. Yeah, and what do we always do? We go to the mall. Praise God! You know, we parking lot. You know, my patient, Uncle Edmund, whenever we go home, and we drive in the freeway, we stop in the stoplight. Lord, give the green light. Lord, give the green light. When the light turns red, praise God! I'm laughing. I'm always bringing them to park, one of my patients. He's a 90-year-old Chinese guy. He's so cute. Praise God! Say, praise God. So you gotta pray, man. Prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's James 5:16. And Ephesians 6:18. I'll just read it to you. Or do you have it? Ephesians 6:18. Okay, and pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Can you see that? That's Paul saying. Yes. That's the teaching of Paul in the book of Ephesians in the city of Ephesus. He wrote that. And then, verse Matthew 6:5. So there's 6:5-8. I'm going to try explain this to you, yeah? 5-8. That when you pray, 3, be relaxed. Okay. Approach prayer with the right attitude. Number 1, be real when you pray. And Matthew 6:5, do you have it? Yeah, there. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, yeah? For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. Did you see that? Please don't impress God. And don't even impress others around you. Showing yourself, oh, I pray. You can close your eyes, pray right away. This is just my walk with God, not boasting up. I know a lot of you are doing it. All of us here, I hope. That's my prayer. Second one, be relaxed. The one is be real, yeah? But Matthew 6:6 now, okay? But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen? How about Matthew 6:7-8? Be revealing. Don't recite the same prayer over and over as the heathen do, who think prayers are answered only by repeating them over and over again. Remember, your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask him. Is that right? You gotta believe, Lord, if you pray, oh, my sickness is gonna be gone. Every time my wife experiences some little bit of this and that, we just pray. Bow down on our knees and pray. And miraculously, everything's okay. Everything's okay. So we're done with the prayer, yeah? I believe. So the third one is commit to obey. Ooh. The prompting of the Holy Spirit and the instruction of God's word. You got to obey. What did Peter say here in Acts 5:29? It's in your note. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Yeah, rather than men. Romans 5:18 here. Just by one man's obedience to God, many will be righteous. Is it there? Just like the names that I enumerated to you, Billy Graham. These guys are men of God, men of faith, obedient people. Billy Graham, I don't know how many millions of people he has saved. Even until now, he's still living, 97 by November 7 this year. He's the oldest American evangelist I can think of that's really impacted the world for Jesus. Amen. And Deuteronomy 11:27. Do we have that? Okay. If you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I commanded you today, he will set you a blessing. Praise God from whom all what? Blessings flow. You got to praise. You got to put God in your life. You got to obey. Obedience is a must when you walk the walk. Number 4. Commit to worship. I already preached this last year, Heart of Worship, but let's just look at it. Commit to worship. Yeah? The Lord in public and in private. And then in words and in actions. It could be individually or it could be with your friends around, your family. You know, you have to worship. This is part this morning. We just worship God with songs and praises. But worship is not the songs and praises. Worship is an ultimate surrender to God. You have to give him the honor and the glory. So David says here, all the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. John 4:23 says here. John 4:23, do we have that? It says, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. Yeah? So those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Is that an amen? We're moving on. 5. Commit to give. If it's financially, generously, faithfully, and joyfully for to the work, of course, of the God's kingdom. But it's not only monetary, you know. It's not just a form of money when you give. You give your services, your talents, your gifts. Yeah? Especially your time with God. Give it. When God calls, we must answer. Yeah? And we give back what God has given us first. Amen? Your business is there. It's a blessing. You're working, it's a blessing. If you don't have work, God will provide. Because Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. I will never forget this verse when I went to Bible school here in Hawaii. Pastor Lieberman, I remember him. This is the most important. You got to have this verse stuck in your head. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first his kingdom, because it applies to not only to things in your life. Peace, joy, love, you're going to have it. The fruit of the Spirit, you're going to have everything. Galatians 5:22, 23. If you put him first and be righteous. Amen? Yeah. Okay, so moving on. Commit, number 6. Commit to forgive. Oh, others extending grace, especially those who have wronged you. Ephesians 4:32, Paul says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:13, that's another verse that we can ponder. 3:13. Got it? So I want to share it to you guys because it's better to share it to you in words. Okay, if not, okay, I'll just read it. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. So, what did God said in Luke 23:34 when he was on the cross? What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Praise God. So we got to forgive. These are all 10 commitments, you know, preaching. But again, as I told you, first two, commit to read, pray. And then the next one is fellowship. Number 7, commit to fellowship with other believers. Not just today. Yeah, Sundays. Sunday, we love to get together Sundays. Sunday is supposedly a secret Sunday service for those people who don't know God. And that's why you have Bible studies on midweek, the believers. You know, we have special prayer meetings. And it's really good to get together on Sunday. That's really a blessing to be able to do that. And that's where we can, on special places, land, we can fellowship. We can have mutual encouragement, edification, and of course, accountabilities. Yeah, you can do that. It's high tech now. You can even fellowship with your friend by phone. Text, Tango, Skype, FaceTime. It's a good thing to do, yeah? You don't have time? Oh, you don't have time. Okay, let's FaceTime. Let's pray together. Let's learn about the Word of God together. And if you're hurting, I can pray for you. It's accountability, edification, right? Hebrews 10:24-25. I like this so much. I had this also shared message a long time ago, probably 20 years ago, when Ben and I were together in 1996. I did this as a Bible study. 10:24-24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This, as in the manner of some, you cannot blame some who cannot come on some, you know, some time, because they have their own valid reasons they can't do. You know, health reasons, family first. You know, you gotta put God first, but who's next? Family, right? You gotta take care of Ohana. That's when I, this is the value I'm gonna move forward in value. So that is fellowship. Number eight, commit yourself to serve God by serving others, serving, giving your time again to ministry with an eternal perspective. You want your rewards up there in heaven. Amen? So committing to serve is, here Mark wrote this, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, right? So nine, commit yourself to value others by making relationships a priority. This is what I'm telling now. Number one, relationship, supernatural personal relationship with God first, and then family. Yeah, treat strangers as friends, friends as family, and family as your valuable treasure. That's very important, as they are. What's the most important word here in Hawaii? Ohana, Aloha Spirit. Ohana above anything, but after God, your family. Amen? And if you want to go to a TV station, Dr. James Dobson. Oh, I love this guy so much. He set up this Focus on the Family program. Right now, he has a family talk. Again, the children are taking over. Mostly, you know, it's passed on to the next generation. So James Dobson Family Talk and Focus on the Family is a good website to check. The last one, commit yourself to share with others what Christ has done for you. Yeah? And what he has done for the rest, other people that saved and know God. The Great Commission. What is it? The Great Commission, can we put that in? Matthew 28:19-20. No? Okay. I'll just read it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Last month we had a baptism, Ryan and Lisa here. Praise God. In addition to our ministry, to our church here. Remember, we are a very small church with a big heart. That was my first message preaching, 5 years ago? Small with a big heart church. Amen! Praise God! 10 commitments. You want to take a break? Cool. Where's that? Secular songs. Can you put it in? Since I'm a musician, I saw this in the computer, yeah? Secular song. What's the song related to Noah, biblical prophet? Noah. Whoa! Raindrops keep falling on my head. Raindrops. See? The flood, yeah? How about Adam and Eve? Ooh, strangers in paradise. God kicked them out. I think I like the next one. Moses? Well, Moses was what? A wanderer. I don't know that song, but that's a song. Jezebel is bad girl. The lady is a Trump. How about who's the guy with the hair? Samson. What's the song for him? Oh, that's hair, yeah? So I'll keep you awake now. This is good. Good for something before we end up with the transformation message. So how about, is Daniel here? The lion sleeps tonight. You see, he was thrown into the furnace thing. And it was, okay. How about, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. That is Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. the great balls of fire. This is the one that's furnace that never been burned. Yeah, Shadrach. Wow, that's a song there. How about when Jesus was born in the stable? The three people came in. The three kings. When you wish upon a star. Lovely. How about Jonah? He was thrown out in the ocean, and who got him? Got a whale of a tail. And then Enoch was taken away. Yeah? He never saw death. God took him up in heaven. So that's, what do you call that? Rapture. And then Jonah too. I mean, Elijah too. Enoch and Elijah. Up and away in heaven. And how about the oldest guy, prophet in the Bible? Methuselah, 969 years old. Staying alive. And the last one, the craziest guy in the Bible, King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so much of that. I don't know if I want to share to you a joke, a spiritual joke. I think I told you about the minister that was hunting bear. You want to listen to that again? Yeah. There was a minister hunting bear the whole day in the woods, yeah? He was looking for a bear. Oh, he was so tired. Nothing showed up. He was so frustrated. He put his gun down, and then he went to the stream and cool off. And right about that time, a big grizzly bear was running towards him, toward 200 yards away. Oh, no. Oh my God, he fell down in his knees. Oh, God, please help me. Protect me, Lord. Make this bear into a Christian. Oh, I think his prayers were answered. Lo and behold, miraculously, the bear stopped. He put his paws up here, like in heaven, to heavens. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the food that I'm about to eat. Answered prayer to and the bear. There's two people saved that day. Praise God. Let's move on. Oh, it's so good for you guys to laugh and laugh for Jesus, yeah? Spiritual joke for Jesus is good sometimes. You have to fill it up too. Fill the gap, yeah. Okay, five ways to transform your commitments into habits. What is a habit? It's in your notes, yeah, an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. It becomes a natural. It's a second nature. It's a usual. It's expected if you have that habit, yeah. Making or changing a habit can be a difficult undertaking, but it's doable. With God's grace, of course, and mercy. Amen? With God's grace and mercy, you can develop that habit. Number one, you must earnestly, under bullet, you must earnestly want to do it. That's a choice. If you don't do it, nothing will happen. You cannot change your commitment and your 10 commitments to God. Daniel 1:8. Says here, you must purpose your heart to make something habitual. Make a strong decision to carry out your resolve. If you are not good at doing that, you can talk to someone. You can find information from somebody else and from anything. It's again the high tech now. It's really hell. It's on your finger here. You can do a lot of things in the computer, but make that computer thing make it work for God's glory, not ours. Yeah, no matter how high-tech we are right now, again, I'm not bragging, but my Bible is full of all the apps, Bible apps. And I read my daily bread here, everything, even my sermon, all. It's high-tech. But anyways, you must do it. You must want to do it. That's the number one thing, to make it habitual. Number two, surround yourself with reminders. Reminders. Yeah. Deuteronomy 6:8-9. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. When God gave his commandments to the children of Israel, he instructed them this one. Yeah. So nowadays, again, you can put reminders in your dashboard, in the car, your fridge, your iPad, your tablet, your smartphone, reminders to do make that habit, make that commitments work for you. Yeah. And the third one is tell others about your intentions. Yeah, you can't just do it by yourself. Yeah, you can, but it's more solid if there's a lot of people, you know, aware about what you're doing. So Deuteronomy 6:17, you shall teach them diligently, especially to your children, and shall talk on them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Yeah, that's what we should do. Share your intentions to the people around you. The fourth one, this is my best. It applies really to all of us. The blank one, this is repetition. Repetition is essential in anything we do in this world. Maybe it work, business, so you want to master or you be a sport athlete. Me, it applies to me when I go on my own exercise, just shooting balls in the park, repetition. Like this. I cannot imagine myself, oh, this millionaire NBA players can shoot it. NBA, I can do it. In fact, I'm so proud to have my center at the center court. 8 no miss shots. I haven't done that in 2012, I think. I haven't repeated 8 in a row. That's the center. Well, I'm not talking about the three-pointer. But anyway, because you know why? I did repetition work in that. It didn't happen overnight. This is a faithful saying, Titus 3:8. And these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Maintenance, that's the repetition. These things are good and profitable to men. Paul instructs us to be faithful in constantly and carefully maintaining our good works. Amen? And then, twice in a row does not make it. You gotta do it over and over. When you guys, there's children who are still going to school. When you read your homework, do you do it once? Or if you're a genius, then once. But if not, over and over, you get a, you know, especially math. Math is so tough, yeah. So a habit are formed slowly over long periods of time through constant repetition. So don't expect change overnight, as I told you. Take it one day at a time. Amen? And the last one here, blank. A failure. It's not an excuse to give up. If you fail along the way, you will be tempted to quit, right? Don't allow that enemy. Yeah. How many have failed here? All of us? At point in time, we all fail. But if we are righteous now and if you believe in God and you walk the walk, yeah, we can do it. But unfortunately, for those who don't have faith and haven't accepted Christ yet, and not living a life of faith, it is very sad. Some or most of them don't even make it. So that's why we have to spread the word. All of us here, we're small and bigger church. If someone here, I'm praying to please open your heart to Jesus. Anyone. I know all of you here. But again, use the commitments, the 10 commitments that I put in here. Don't throw this bulletin sermon. Take it with you, hide it in your bag or whatever. And it is a blessing to be able to do that. Praise God. I think I've said my points here. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, Father God. It's a blessing, Lord, to be able to have faith in you, Lord, as a mustard seed, Lord. Help us, each one of us here, change our hearts, increase your faith in us, and get, decrease ourselves from worldly things, Lord, from the things of this world. Please, Lord God, close your eyes, you guys, please. Just focus on something that will benefit you. If you receive the Lord as your Savior, ask Him right now in the name of Jesus to get into your heart. You want to start all over, Lord, to be a new creation. Because everything is new in Christ. If you call the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Thank you again, Lord, for this day. Thank you for being able to get together here and hear the word, Lord. Such a blessing, Father God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says here, amen. Woo! Amen. That's it. Praise God. Praise God. So we will worship this in closing. We'll sing Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Remember, plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and future. Amen. Amen. Yes. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future.